This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in this episode. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, covering the Rockets for ESPN 97.5 and partner at Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, at ESPN 975, and at Apollo HOU. Now, joining us today is our very good friend of the show, credentialed Rockets writer for Dream Shake SB Nation, and fellow member of the Locked On family, host of Locked On Texans, Cody Davis. Cody, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Thank you so much for having me on Locked On Rockets. I'm about to say Locked On Texans because that's the show I actually host on the other side. I'm just excited to be on this show today.
Hey, man, it's been a minute since we've had you on here, and I wish I could have you on more often, but I know you stay busy, you know, with everything that you've got going on, but I'm happy we could make the time to catch up and kind of talk about the Houston Rockets here today. So without wasting any time, man, I want to jump straight into this with you. And we woke up today and we found out DeMarcus Cousins had been waived by the Rockets, and then immediately after, we kind of get this he said, she said, sources said this, then DeMarcus Cousins jumps on social media to deny it. Basically, Tim McMahon of ESPN coming out and saying that Cousins, you know, that he had sources telling him that Cousins was unhappy with his role backing up Christian Wood, you know, for the Rockets. And then Cousins jumping on Instagram and saying that that it's a goddamn lie on Instagram. And I mean, what's your immediate reaction to this, Cody? Because for me, I really, you know, I kind of genuinely maybe believed that Cousins might have been a little unhappy about this position or where he's at now with the team, because the team is so drastically different from where they were when he originally made those comments about backing up Christian Wood. But it seems like Cousins is, you know, not with that report whatsoever. So it looks like it might have been a false report from ESPN.
Well, first and foremost, let me just say, you know, when it comes to him denying the reports about him being unhappy about backing up Christian Wood, I don't believe that he was unhappy in that aspect. I believe, if anything, he was just unhappy with the playing time. And every time you looked at DeMarcus Cousins here during his time with the Houston Rockets, it seemed like he could never find his niche with the team. And I've asked Steven Silas a bunch of times on the Zoom press conferences. I asked him, you know, when are we going to see more from DeMarcus Cousins? And like everybody wanted to know, is there a possibility we're going to see Christian Wood and DeMarcus Cousins take the court together? And he always talked about the matchup. DeMarcus Cousins playing time all depended on the matchup. And at first I really didn't understand what he was talking about, because I'm like, at the end of the day, you have Cousins. He was at one time one of the best big men in the game before those injuries started to take a toll on him. But I believe if it wasn't his first game, it was his second game when they was playing against the Sacramento Kings. And there was a switch between him and De'Aaron Fox. And I understand Fox might be the fastest player in the game, or the second fastest in the game, depending on how you feel about John Wall. And Fox literally took Cousins to the paint and just converted an easy layup attempt. And it seems like nobody was in front of him. And from that very moment, I said to myself, this is going to hurt DeMarcus Cousins, because if he can't stay in front of nobody on the defensive side of the ball, especially knowing how much this team loves to switch, he's not going to see the floor very much. And then you got to take into consideration that he's also a shell of his former self. So You know, I just think at the end of the day, he was just unhappy with the minutes. I don't think he was unhappy playing behind Christian Wood, because, you know, you can play backup behind somebody, but if you are averaging somewhere in the ballpark of what, 15 to 20 minutes a game, that is when the issue starts.
You know, I completely agree with you there, Cody, about the defensive woes that this team has struggled with DeMarcus Cousins. You know, they are forced to play a certain way with him on the floor. And I think that when you look at this situation, that's also kind of how I was reading the, I guess the angle on it is, it's understandable that maybe, you know, he's at this point where it's not necessarily about backing up Christian Wood. It's just about the overall minutes that he's getting. And, you know, to me, I kind of thought that for the Rockets, for them to be in kind of the best case scenario would be to not only have DeMarcus Cousins as a backup to Christian Wood to kind of maintain that five out, that pick and pop spacing, and, you know, be kind of a bigger body to throw at some of those bigger NBA centers around the league, but to also potentially have a third backup big to be able to have another rim running big, basically like how they have Justin Patton now, who has, you know, that ability to rim run, set screens, roll hard to the rim and everything. And I kind of thought that based on matchup, like you were saying, and like how Steven Silas has said, I think that if DeMarcus Cousins was willing to just accept that role and know that he's not the player that he used to be, and that, you know, there might be some nights where he gets zero run and there might be some nights where he gets 20 plus minutes depending on the matchup, then I think that could have been a really great relationship for the Rockets, because I do still think there's something there, something left for Cousins, and he can still be a contributor at a decent level for an NBA team. He's much better than a lot of the other backup bigs in the league, even though he's had kind of a down season, and even though we've seen some struggles from him and he's limited physically, he still brings you some good three-point shooting. He still brings you good passing. He still brings you rebounding. And depending on the personnel that you surround him with, the drop coverage defensively may not necessarily hurt another team as much as it kind of hurts the Rockets, given their current personnel and how they try to run things with their defensive schemes. So I'm kind of remiss. I'm upset that we're not going to get to see Cousins play the rest of the season with the Rockets. And it'll be interesting to see which team ultimately scoops him up. Where do you kind of envision him landing?
That's the issue. And to be honest with you, that's the scary part about this whole situation with DeMarcus Cousins, because, you know, to your point when you talked about him, you know, being somewhat of a big who can run up and down the court, the only issue with that is DeMarcus is no longer athletic. So that he cannot really play that role. You know, he is a solid stretch big who can stretch the floor due to his ability to knock down three-point shots, but he's a little bit inconsistent in that area. So I don't really see a team out there that will take a chance on Cousins. The one team that me and everybody else automatically thought of was the Los Angeles Lakers, but there was a report on yesterday saying that the Lakers do not have any interest in signing Cousins. Now, of course, I don't know how true that report is, but I'm under the belief where there's smoke, there's fire. And if it's not the Lakers, I'm not sure who is it going to be. I mean, there's some people throwing out the Brooklyn Nets. I don't think him and James Harden has the best relationship. The way that ended in Houston, how they was throwing shots between one another in different press conferences. And, you know, I also want to go back to something that Steven Silas talked about after practice on yesterday. He talked about how a big like DeMarcus Cousins is basically hard for him to find his niche if in any team, because a lot of teams like the Rockets want to play faster. A lot of teams like the Rockets want to play smaller. And if you don't have a all-star big like Rudy Gobert or Anthony Davis
or Christian Wood
we'll
talk about that in a moment.
Oh yeah, we definitely want to talk about that, but it's hard for a big like DeMarcus Cousins to find a team where he can play valuable minutes. I mean, you take a look at the team that we're playing tonight here with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're going through a similar thing with Andre Drummond. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at it from a standpoint of, okay, if I'm a team and I need a big who can rebound the basketball and give me some valuable minutes, and I think I'm going to take Drummond over DeMarcus Cousins just due to the fact, one, Drummond is healthier, and two, I know Drummond is going to at least pull down somewhere in the ballpark of 15 to 20 rebounds a night, where DeMarcus Cousins, his play, of course, is unfortunate due to injuries. He's not going to give you that. And with Cousins, I understand, and I'm pretty sure he understands that he's no longer the guy who was once tearing up the league with, what, 25 and 20 on a nightly basis when he was with the Kings and the Pelicans. he understands that, I'm pretty sure. And he showed that here in Houston, he would like to accept a role where he's no longer that franchise player. But once again, what team is he going to go to? You know, this is not, I think at the end of the day, this is going to turn into one of the saddest tales in NBA history. You know, DeMarcus Cousins isn't the first guy who had a promising career derailed by injuries. I mean, hell, you take a look at Derrick Rose, you take a look at Grant Hill, you know, those guys were on their way to being considered all-time greats, and then injuries derailed their careers. But later on in their careers, after they got healthy, they was able to revamp their game, and they was able to end their careers. And of course, you know, Derrick Rose's career is still going. They was able to accept those lesser roles and still have a really solid career. As for DeMarcus Cousins, not only is he's battling, trying to battle his way back from injuries, but he's also in the standpoint of the game is just changing. So, you know, like John Wall says, and I 100% agree with him, I hope DeMarcus Cousins find a job, but if it's not the Los Angeles Lakers, I really don't know what team DeMarcus Cousins can go to and actually play valuable minutes.
Yeah, and I mean, I really thought that this situation here in Houston would be great for him, get a year to really play, you know, at least some level of consistent minutes, rehab his body, get back into, you know, better shape than he has been, you know, ideally have a year full of health, knock on wood, that kind of thing, and playing alongside, you know, a dear friend in John Wall. So, you know, something had to have changed behind the scenes. You know, obviously, Cousins coming out and saying that the ESPN report was false, but something has to have changed between now and training camp. And obviously this Rockets team looks very, very different between, you know, from what it was all the way back in mid-December when Cousins originally made those comments to now, and the current version of the team and the trajectory of the team, unfortunately, having lost 8 straight games now. And ultimately, even though Cousins is now leaving the team, you know, he has been a total professional during his time here in Houston. I wish him nothing but the best and success moving forward. And even though Cousins hasn't exactly brought a whole lot of happiness to Rockets fans, especially those who have been somewhat frustrated with his inconsistent play offensively and some of the, you know, the lacking or wanting for more defensively, there is a player who has brought an immense amount of joy and happiness to the Rockets fandom. So now we will be introducing your Michelob Ultra Player of the Week, Jayshon Tate. Look, during this this 8-game losing streak for the Rockets, we have to find some bright spots to talk about, and Jayshon Tate has absolutely been that. He is a reason that I am still enjoying watching the Rockets play basketball, getting to see him hit the court on a nightly basis. And I'm using the term week a little loosely here, as the Rockets did have a couple games postponed due to the inclement weather. So, but over the last 3 games for Jayshon Tate, he is averaging 16.3 points, he's averaging 6.7 boards, 3.3 assists, 2.7 steals, playing a little under 35 minutes a game, shooting about 59% from the floor, and a really staggering 50% from behind the arc. And here's the thing, right, is when Jayshon Tate hits the court, he plays hard every single night. He plays hard on offense, on defense. He hustles. He has a joy, a love for the game of basketball. And I hope that that fire is not extinguished in him anytime soon. You know, it's not just a simply, you know, because he's not a traditional rookie, right? He's 25 years old. Yes, he's still trying to prove himself, but he strikes me as that type of hungry player that's going to continue playing this way for much of his career. And that's why I enjoy watching Jayshon Tate play in the game, you know, because, look, at the end of the day, enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game. And Jayshon Tate is absolutely enjoying himself out there on the basketball court, just like you can with Michelob Ultra. Only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? And that's why Jayshon Tate is the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Did you know that you can get more of the sports news that you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast? Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. Now, chatting with Dream Shake, SB Nation insider Cody Davis. Now, Cody, we got to talk about this Christian Wood situation, because Wood has officially, so regrettably, just moments ago before we sat down to record this podcast, been snubbed from the All-Star team, and I'm feeling some kind of way about it, man. How are you feeling?
I'm mad. I can't lie. I'm very disappointed by that, but I'm not surprised because I honestly do feel if Christian Wood did not sprain his ankle and if the Rockets were not on an eight-game losing streak, I'm pretty sure he would have been named an All-Star, hopefully. But like you say, casuals, man. They just casuals.
They just casuals every single one. Now, let's go ahead. We're gonna name off the seven Western Conference All-Star reserves that did get picked. So we've got Anthony Davis, Paul George, Rudy Gobert, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Chris Paul, and Zion Williamson. Now, out of this group, now here's the part where, this is actually the part where I kind of struggle. And feel free to agree or disagree with me here, Cody, but looking at this list, even though I genuinely feel like Christian Wood has had an All-Star caliber worthy season and should have received an All-Star nod, I struggle with trying to kick somebody off this list. I really do. Like, just down this entire line, who, if you were going to make an argument for somebody that you would have cut to put Christian Wood in place of, can you confidently do that with anybody on this list?
I'm going to go off the limb and say yes. And that person that I feel should not have been named an All-Star this year is Anthony Davis. I get it. He's arguably the best big man in the game, but this man has not had that good of a season so far. I mean, right now he's not playing due to injury, so I'm pretty sure they're going to find a replacement for him. But when you take a look at his numbers and you take a look at the way he's playing this year, his production this year has not been good. Matter of fact, this is the lowest points per game that this man has averaged since, I believe, his second year in the NBA. I believe the Pelicans were still named the Hornets at the time. Like Anthony Davis, once again, I get it. He's in Los Angeles playing alongside LeBron James. Of course, he's going to be named an All-Star. But and this is why I struggle with the whole All-Star nods, because I feel a lot of times it's based off of popularity contest.
It's a beauty pageant. It's a popularity contest at its core is the problem.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm looking at Anthony Davis. I'm like, even if you didn't name Christian Wood to the All-Star team, the least you can do is replace Anthony Davis with Devin Booker. There's no way for the second year in a row that man should still be a replacement.
And so to me, that's, and I guess that's where we kind of fall into this rabbit hole where Anthony Davis isn't going to play in this All-Star game. Like, that's almost a certainty at this point. So we start talking about, okay, who's going to be the replacement? And unfortunately, the replacement doesn't have to be a forward center. So even though Anthony Davis filled that category during the original selection process, it does not have to be a forward center. So I think the leading candidate to replace Anthony Davis, as you already brought up, is probably going to be Devin Booker, who, again, has to be a replacement All-Star for the second year in a row, which sucks for Devin Booker because Booker is having a phenomenal season. That being said, if they were to pick a player that did fit that forward center mold, the other two guys that are, you know, rounding out that list that everybody kind of has at the top of their lists is, of course, Christian Wood, and then also Brandon Ingram. And so I pulled up the numbers for Brandon Ingram and for Christian Wood just because I kind of wanted to compare the two just so that people could get an idea of what these two guys look like side by side. And let me just run through these numbers really quick. Christian Wood is averaging 22 points a game, 10.2 rebounds, 1.3 assists, 0.9 steals, 1.5 blocks on 56% shooting from the floor, 42% from behind the arc, and 63% true shooting. Brandon Ingram, 23.9 points, 5.3 rebounds, 4.7 assists, 0.7 steals, 0.9 blocks on 47% shooting from the floor, 39% from behind the arc, and 59% true shooting. So if they were going to go the forward center route, if somehow Brandon Ingram gets the nod over Christian Wood, I will be irate, Cody.
Yeah, you and me both. First and foremost, you got Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram. There's no way in hell the Pelicans should still be under 500 at 13-17. They do not have an excuse. At least the Rockets, yes, we are under 500 right now. At least the Rockets, yes, they are what's their record? 11-18?
11-18, it's pretty rough.
Oh, God. Jesus, that just hurt my soul.
They are bottom four in the league. It is... Straight
pain. It's
been
a long time since we had a record like that. But at the end of the day, it's due to injuries. And we all know, just go back and take a look at when the Rockets was healthy, especially with Christian Wood. This man had this organization. You're talking about an organization who literally just departed from James Harden. You're talking about the second greatest Rocket of all time. He still had this team competitive. They won, what was it, 6 games in a row. And before that winning streak, they were still winning. Christian Wood deserved the nod, and I don't understand it. Like I told you before we hit the record button in the recording studio, I have not been excited for the All-Star pairing possibly since Kobe Bryant's last year in the NBA in 2016, because it's just truly nothing but a popularity contest. They always talk about when it comes to All-Stars, and even the same thing with MVP voting. And no, I'm not saying that Christian Wood should win MVP, but there's always this narrative of people saying that it's always – who is the most valuable player to that team? Where would this team be if it wasn't for X player? You just insert the name. You look at Anthony Davis. Like I mentioned, the man is not having that great of a season. Now he's injured. You take a look at Brandon Ingram. If they go that route and name him a replacement, no, don't do that. It has to be Christian Wood, because can you imagine? I mean, the Rockets are in turmoil right now, but can you imagine the Rockets without Christian Wood this season?
Oh, they would Oh man, I don't even want to entertain that thought, because that's a scary thought. It's just
exactly
dark, sad, pain, cold. Just it'd be colder. It'd be a colder thought than Houston was last week. Let's just put it that way. And you know, I'll tell you what, you bring up a great point there about it being a popularity contest, and I think that at the end of the day, I think it was Kelly Eco who suggested on Twitter, and a few others have as well, but I would be totally in favor of expanding the All-Star teams and adding like 2 or 3 more slots to each side, so that you could have a total of, instead of just having 12 from each conference, you could have, say, 15, like 14 or 15 from each conference. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, there's so much talent in the NBA that it feels like every single year there are a handful of guys who do get snubbed from the All-Star game, and they really shouldn't be. Like, there's so much talent in today's NBA that I don't think it hurts anything to expand it and be a little bit more inclusive. That way you can have some guys who are truly deserving of being in that, you know, in that category, you know, category of all-star caliber player, to give them a chance to actually kind of you know, bust down that door and be able to, you know, truly call themselves an all-star. And you know, hopefully maybe things pan out Christian Wood's way, and he gets the nod as a replacement all-star. I'm still holding out a small sliver of hope that that happens when Anthony Davis is ultimately announced as not participating, but we will see. Unfortunately, it sucks to have to bank on, you know, a kind of a technicality like that, but we'll see how that plays out. And if it doesn't work out for Christian Wood this time around, then most definitely next year we're going to be full-blown Christian Wood all-star campaign. But if it doesn't work out this season, then we're absolutely turning our attention to that most improved campaign, and we're going to absolutely make sure that he wins that one. Now we've got a handful of other topics that we want to talk about, want to hit on coming up here in just a moment. Some kind of bigger, you know, kind of 10,000 foot view topics about this Rockets team. We're going to get there in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, German chocolate, salted caramel, banana bread. You might think that I'm talking about luxurious, fancy desserts from some high-end restaurant somewhere, but I'm not. I'm talking about protein bars. And the best part is, they're not even really protein bars, because these bars are so delicious. They're covered in 100% delectable chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're essentially candy bars that are jam-packed with protein. And they've got so many amazing flavors to choose from. Those were just a few of the Built Bar flavors that I listed off. Their menu is incredible. And the best part is, right, these bars, they're low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. It's basically a candy bar that's just absolutely jam-packed with protein, and you can check them out. Just go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Look, 2020 is thankfully over, and it's time for a fresh start. And hey, maybe a few more wins on top of that, right? If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. Now, Cody, let's go ahead and I want to kind of branch out a little bit, and there's a few topics that I want to hit on here. And the very first one, let's get to this, is I want to get your ideas and your opinions and kind of see where you think, why do the Rockets continue to get off to these slow starts in games? And I want to see if you think is it a player mentality thing? Do you think Silas is not preparing the team enough? Because I've seen both sides of the aisle on Twitter, and I haven't quite made up my mind on where I fall in that regard as to why this team continues to get off to these really, really terrible starts to games.
It's hard. That's all I can say. And it seems like every time one of us finds an answer, something else new take place. And, you know, my latest theory to why the Rockets get off to these slow starts is the lineup. I think there should be a lineup change in the starting lineup. And I don't want to jump ahead to, you know, possibly our next topic. You know, we talk about the possibility of David Nwaba being inserted into the starting lineup. But I think that is part of the reason why Houston is getting off to these slow starts, because every time Nwaba enters the game, that is when the flow of the Rockets offense and defensively starts to change. And I'm sitting there, like the game that took place on Monday against the Chicago Bulls, it wasn't until Brown and Nwaba came into the game, and that's when the flow started to change. Steven Silas need to just revamp his whole starting lineup. And that is part of the reason. And two, of course, is the mentality. I'm not sure what these guys are doing prior to the game, but they need some type of mentality shift. I hate the way they start games. It really does not make sense. And like Steven Silas has said, you know, there's been multiple games where if they would have gotten off to a good start, you might be looking at a situation where the Rockets could have had a couple more wins in their pockets, because they're not trying to claw their way out of this deep hole that they dug themselves in.
And I think to your point on that, I think it's actually great, you know, because that was our very next topic that we were going to get into. But I think these two topics kind of go hand in hand almost perfectly, which is great because we can kind of talk about them at the same time a little bit. I will bring up, because you bring up the point about David Nwaba and his energy shift, right? And I think that's why for the better part of the early season. Now, obviously, this team before the James Harden trade had a lot of crap going on. Like that's a nice way of putting it. And I think that we did see David Nwaba in the starting lineup doesn't have that opportunity to be that chaotic force of good that he can be when he comes off the bench. Now, to highlight this, David Nwaba has started twice for the Rockets since the James Harden trade, and the Rockets have lost both of those games. Now, in the first game that he started, it was the first game, it was at Chicago, so a couple games after the James Harden trade. It was Victor Oladipo's very first game in a Houston Rockets jersey, and, you know, they lost the game. They only lost by five, but Nwaba, he put up 7 points, he only had 2 rebounds, played 21 minutes, just didn't look great in that game. And then you come back down a little bit more recently, and he started against the Wizards, and this was actually a game that he had a really solid all-around game. He had 19 points, he had 11 rebounds, shot 7 of 10 from the floor, did miss all of his three-pointers, but was perfect inside the arc, got to the free throw line 7 times, hit 5 of them. Really solid game, but I kind of argue that, and this is where I wanted to present this question because I think it's so interesting that you would look at it and think, yeah, he gives energy, so putting him in the starting lineup makes sense so that they get off to a strong start, because he's so energetic. But I think that he just functions so much better on the bench when he's able to wreak havoc against opposing bench units, guys who are not quite the tier of starter caliber player. So they make, you know, a few more mistakes. He's able to read passing lanes a little bit easier. He's able to be more disruptive defensively, that kind of stuff. So I think he's more advantageous in that second unit. And that's kind of where I come away from on this, is that he really hit his stride when he went to the bench and became that stabilizing force in the second unit. So, and I wonder if you agree with that argument on his behalf as far as starting or staying on the bench.
To a certain extent, because when you take a look at the two games that he started after the James Harden trade, it's kind of hard to make a judgment about whether he's good coming off the bench or starting in those two games, because those were two games where the Rockets were basically scrapping for players to play. I mean, you take a look at the game against Chicago, that was a game where John Wall did not play. And I'm under the belief, and I'm pretty sure you might agree with this, that John Wall is the Rockets' second most valuable player. And when he is not on that court, you're talking about the whole entire dynamic of the offense. Matter of fact, the team in general just shifts and it goes completely south. And then, you know, you take a look at the loss that happened last Monday against the Washington Wizards. Unfortunately, I didn't have power, so I didn't see that game, but I did catch up on it and looked at highlights. You know, Victor Oladipo did not play. Christian Wood did not play. So the injury bug has really hurt this team to the point it's getting to the point where it's hard to judge and say what works or what does not work because so many guys are out. And when I take a look at David Nwaba, and when I say that, you know, not only is he an energy guy, but he is also one of the team's best perimeter defensive players. He can hustle. He just brings a different dynamic. And I just need Steven Silas to make that switch and let the Rockets start with that hustle, start with that defensive mentality. Just start whatever David Nwaba brings to this lineup because he brings something, but clearly, that something needs to start at the top of the key. That something needs to start when the ball tips in the first quarter and not midway through the first quarter when your team is already down by 12 points and you're fighting and clawing your way back.
Everybody's healthy. What's your starting lineup? Go.
Is this before or after the trade deadline?
This is right now with everybody currently available on the roster. Everybody's healthy. Bam. Everybody had a magic potion and they're at 100% health. Good to go. Who's your starting lineup?
I will go John Wall, Victor Oladipo, David Nwaba, Jayshon Tate, and Christian Wood.
Okay. I can respect it because I do agree to an extent. David Nwaba does everything on the court at a very high level except for shoot the basketball. He can handle, he can penetrate. His passing game isn't phenomenal, but he just did against the Bulls, you know, in unfortunately the quote unquote garbage time, where he and, Sterling Brown continued to, tear it up. He had a beautiful no-look pass where he drove in from the baseline, collapsed the Bulls' defense. Sterling Brown was off in the corner. Everybody had forgotten about him. And he looked away and threw a beautiful no-look into the corner perfectly right into Sterling Brown's shooting pocket. And Brown just pulled up and nailed. It was either his third or his fourth three at that point in the game. And so his pass, you know, he's not necessarily a playmaker, but he's a willing passer and he's a great, great off the bounce, which allows him the opportunity to collapse the defense and try and make those reads and make plays for other players. So he does give you that. But I worry that, you know, to an extent, how many non-shooting guys can you have, you know, staggered together at the same time? And if you put Jayshon Tate and Jayshon Tate and David Nwaba in the lineup starting together, then I worry that you're going to get a little bit of what we saw in the early season where Nwaba was starting a lot of those games before the James Harden trade took place. And, you know, we saw the offense really kind of gummed up at times where it looked like the spacing was off, defenders weren't honoring his three-point shot, things just looked off. And maybe things looked off because of the whole Harden situation. And maybe if they did give Nwaba a chance in the starting lineup again, things would look a little bit better this time around. But I think that he absolutely has at least been playing. He's been playing phenomenally. I think we can both agree on that, that he has been a pleasant surprise to see. He's a great rebounder, great defender, great slasher, really great at everything on the court, except for, again, that outside shot, which if he could just get it a little bit consistent, man, David Nwaba would easily be like a $15 million, $20 million a year player if he could get that outside shot somewhere around 35% consistently. Like, I guarantee you he would get a payday if he could get those numbers up a little bit higher. But something's got to give, unfortunately. And you brought up the trade deadline a moment ago, Cody. So I guess I kind of want to wind things down a little bit and give you a chance. What trades have you been simmering on? What is your kind of best or most realistic trade outcome or trade deadline outcome for this Rockets team?
For me, of course, you got to think of the future of the Houston Rockets. Like, where is this team going? You're on an 8-game losing streak, and it seems like, you know, after the departure of DeMarcus Cousins, I'm now starting to think, you know, what's next? What's going to happen with Eric Gordon? Even John Wall, and oh my God, I don't want to see Wall leave. But, you know, you take a look at the older veterans on this team, because it seems like the Rockets are heading towards, you know, getting younger guys and trying to rebuild this organization after the whole James Harden departure, rebuild this organization towards the future. And if I could pick one trade target on who the Rockets should go after before March 25th or on March 25th, I would have to go off the limb and say Michael Porter Jr. from Denver. And I say that because he in Denver seems like there's a little bit conflict, because he wants to showcase the potential that made him a lottery pick, I believe, in 2018. And the Nuggets, they are in championship mode, and they basically are not willing to give, where at least to me, it seems like they're not willing to give Michael Porter Jr. the opportunity he needs to showcase and live up to that lottery pick potential. Not only that, the Nuggets, they need a little bit of help on that perimeter. So you look at guys who might be on the trading block or who are on a trading block, like a PJ Tucker, a Victor Oladipo. I'm not too sure if Tucker for Porter is going to be enough. You might have to tag on a pick or something. I don't know. I'm a terrible general manager. I name guys who are the perfect fit for the Rockets, but I just don't know how to get there. I just plug it in on 2K. I'm not even going to lie to you and see if that works. But
so you're the kind of guy, you turn on trade override and you just say, give me Michael Porter Jr. because I want him on the Rockets.
No. I keep the trade override because I want it to be realistic, you know. And then, I play and see, okay, how can the Rockets get Porter Jr.? Or I just go to ESPN trade machine and just see if that'll work. But, you know,
I'll tell you right now, Tucker for MPJ wouldn't happen in a million years. Not straight up, no. Not with some. But I do agree with your sentiment that, you know, the Nuggets are a team that they've got championship aspirations right now. And, you know, I was formerly of the belief that they could potentially, you know, they've got a really young core, you know, Murray, Jokic, they're only around, 24, 25 apiece. They have the ability to kind of weather the storm of the Western Conference, kind of wait for some of these top tier teams, the Clippers, the Lakers, to maybe fall off a little bit further down the line, which was my reasoning for why they wouldn't want to get rid of MPJ right now, because they would want to give him a chance to continue to develop and then eventually, you know, be kind of that third, that big three with Murray, Jokic, MPJ. But if their aspirations are more to be competitive and go after a chip in the here and now and really hit that win now button mode, then I think a Victor Oladipo, PJ Tucker-centered trade deal for Michael Porter Jr. makes a whole lot of sense for that Nuggets team. And then they'd be able to offload Gary Harris's contract as well. So there's some, you know, some possibilities there. And it would make a lot of sense for the Rockets, because then they get, you know, another kind of cornerstone potential type player in MPJ to pair up with Christian Wood.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I was hinting at. I'm pretty sure Oladipo and Tucker will be enough to get Michael Porter Jr. here in Houston. And like you mentioned, like, you have two, not one, but two good young cornerstones in Wood and Porter Jr. In that case, the future would look bright for the Rockets. But, you know, as of now, it's kind of hard for me to say, outside of Michael Porter Jr. and you're talking about it, you getting a guy, a young stud who has all-star potential, because he had a very good showing out in the NBA bubble. And he's had a couple good games here this season so far, but it's hard to say who the Rockets should go after with the trade deadline coming up, because this is the first time since, 2012 that the Rockets are not making the move to try to put them over a top to get to a championship. It's been a long time, JT.
It's weird. Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you bring that up, Cody, because it's weird not being in that win now mode, right? Where you're constantly, okay, well, we've got to flip this asset or this pick, or we've got to flip this young player and try and get back something of immediate value, something that can contribute to a championship push. It's weird not being the oldest team in the league anymore. Like, and it's kind of even weird to think that we're, you know, even in the midst of this 8-game slide, yeah, it'd be great to see them winning some games, but it's also kind of cool to just see, you know, guys like Jayshon Tate, you know, our ultra player of the week, kind of see him, you know, developing and continuing to get better and better each and every game, seeing what he can put out there on the table, kind of seeing, you know, what guys like Kevin Porter Jr. and KJ Martin Jr. are doing down in the G League bubble, playing for the Vipers, seeing what they're capable of. See, you know, there's a lot of optimism, I think, around this team. Even though they're losing, it's like the future is actually pretty bright for this team, given the fact that they've got all these assets. They've got an exciting young coach in Steven Silas. They've got Rafael Stone, you know, spearheading this effort to revamp and rebuild the Rockets. I'm optimistic about the future of this team, even though in the here and now, this 8-game losing streak totally sucks. I'm still optimistic about where this team is going and that they're on the right path, at least.
Yeah, you and me both. And don't forget about Kevin Porter Jr., a guy who is tearing up the NBA G League right now. Good Lord.
How did I miss Kevin? Wait, no, I did say Kevin Porter Jr., did I not? I said...
I'm not sure. I think you might have missed him. I said
Kevin Porter Jr. and KJ Martin Jr.
Okay.
I was about to say, I definitely didn't leave little baby Harden out of there. You know I talked about him, but... You know, and again, so I'll let you carry on. I just want to be like, you know, I'm pretty sure I mentioned his name.
Well, another guy you forgot, and the guy that I'm really excited to get an opportunity, Mason Jones. Now, I know you did not say his name. That's another guy. So it's like the Rockets are in, I kind of feel like Rafael Stone and Steven Silas need to pick a direction that they need to go, because right now they have a lot of young guys who need this time to develop, and so they can be something and be this and live up to this idea that we have, that how great this rebuild might go. And as of right now, like I said, in addition of Victor Oladipo and PJ Tucker, you have to make some type of decision on Eric Gordon and even John Wall. And I'm hoping that he stays, but if it gets to the point where the Rockets go into total rebuild mode, you're going to have to depart for most of those guys, if not all of those guys, to continue bringing in talent. And the young talent that they have, I think we might see a rebuild that is not going to be painful and hurtful. And I think that is where the optimism comes when you talk about the Houston Rockets and you talk about them building towards the future. You know, I don't see this team battling out like the Cleveland Cavaliers, like when they lost LeBron James for the 100th time or anything like that. But I think they can stay competitive and possibly, you know, make a run to the 8th seed and possibly the 17th seed, or just be a team that's always in the play-in tournament, you know, similar to the rebuild that we saw prior to the James Harden years, when we had Kevin Martin and Kyle Lowry, you know, those guys. As long as they stay competitive, I think that is what is getting everybody hopes up for the future. And they might be in a little bit better shape when you think about, you already have a young stud in Christian Wood.
Absolutely. They've got Christian Wood, and they've got a ton of draft picks courtesy of the James Harden trade with the Brooklyn Nets. So again, the future does look pretty bright for this team, even if the here and now is a little frustrating, to say the least. So with that, Cody, I really appreciate you taking the time to come hang out today, man. Go ahead and let our listeners know where they can track you down at.
Yeah, please remember to follow me on Twitter at CodyDavis_24. Once again, that's Cody, CotyDavis _24. And the 24 stands for Kobe Bryant. Why? Because he is my GOAT.
I love it, man. I love it so much. I love the enthusiasm. And as always, I love talking hoops with you, Cody. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, man. Had a blast.
All right, for today's episode of Locked On Rockets, that is going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.